Live from the heart of Los Angeles, it's the at-home edition of the Life Changes Show. With tonight's guest, organizing and productivity specialist, Regina Lark. And musical guest, Emily Glazner. I am Mark Leisure, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I have been thinking a lot about tonight's show. One can almost say I've been thinking about it all my life. In the sense that growing up as a kid, I always wondered why certain things certain things. And I watched and listened to the adults and how they talked to with each other, treated each other. And it's interesting that I used to raise my voice sometimes and share what I thought. Why are we talking to women this way? Or why are we talking to my mother this way? Or I was told that I would learn as I grew up. And that my place wasn't to speak up, and sometimes I would be beat for it. Well, it's interesting. I did learn more as I grew up, and I aligned more with the way I was thinking as a child. And interestingly enough, I have lived long enough and looked and heard and listened long enough that I have come to be justified in my thinking. And then finally, I see someone write a book about this, and I think, yes, go, Dr. Lark. And so this weekend, I had the pleasure of this almost coming full circle, just as we were getting ready for this show, that I got to celebrate with my mom and a couple of her friends her 88th birthday. And when her and a friend in particular, who's also 88, were together talking, and I happened to be standing nearby, one of them confided in the other, saying, "I'm really tired. You know, I'm really tired." And she said, "It's been a life." And she says, "You know, I've never been able to say this." And for example, my husband would come home after working and say, "Where is dinner?" And then he'd sit and watch TV, and he would tell me how hard his day was. And if I tried to tell him how hard mine was, he would get upset at me and say, "That's not work. You should try and do what I do." And she says, "I feel like nobody heard me." Well, somewhere, somehow, Dr. Regina Clark heard her and so many other women's, or maybe she felt it herself, or both, or all of that. And can't wait to have that conversation with her about her book, Emotional Labor, Why a Woman's Work is Never Done and What to Do About It. And then a little later on in the show, we'll have our Ask Dorothy segment and our musical segment with Emily Glazner, all on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition, right after this.
Have you felt inspired to meditate, but you just can't? Do you suffer from anxiety, but fidget toys just make you more fidgety? Want to replace negative self-talk in your head that keeps bringing you down? Introducing the latest self-help solution, Phi Beads. Transformational beaded jewelry inspired by ancient wisdom, science, math, and psychology. All Phi Beads are designed to incorporate the powerful Fibonacci sequence, nature's mathematical formula that has shaped our existence from the beginning of time. The Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden mean or the golden ratio, is recognized by our conscious and unconscious mind and resonates as order out of chaos, like you see in plants, flowers, seashells, ocean waves, the pyramids, and in our own body. Not only beautiful, they feel good to wear. Phi Beads can help anchor tranquility, positivity, focus, and structure in your life by doing the Phi Meditation. Phi Meditation helps you harness the power of I Am, or intention, affirmation, and manifestation. Affirm the life you want. Get your set of Phi Beads at PhiBeads.com. That's Phi, P-H-I, Beads.com. You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA on the BBS Radio Network with your host, the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows on our archive page at LifeChangesShow.com which include luminaries such as comedian Michael Collier, actress Gabriella Wright, performing artist James Hood, and author Ken Honda. Email your comments and questions to info@lifechangesnetwork.com or askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com. You can also comment via Twitter @LifeChangesShow and Facebook @TheLifeChangesShow.
I am Filippo Voltaggio, your host, online with our co-host and producer, Mark LeJure.
Looking forward to tonight's conversation. I think it's a really important one, and I think Dr. Lark has so much to offer our listeners.
Absolutely. This episode features author, ADHD specialist, certified professional organizer in chronic disorganization, certified senior move manager, Dr. Regina F. Lark, CPO. Welcome, Regina, to the Life Changes Show.
Thank you so much. I'm sitting here with this big grin on my face, listening. Having listened to the ad for the, it's like, oh, there's products being sold on a network that is trying to help listeners create calm out of chaos. It was just so.
Well, actually, ironically, it's where I want to start. I know where we're getting to the book Emotional Labor and this very important subject. But speaking of creating calm out of chaos, you create clarity, clear space, clear paths. So, and you've coined CPO. I wanted to know, tell me about CPO, if you would, real quick.
Well, a CPO is the designation, it's the acronym for Certified Professional Organizer.
Nice.
I know. When I got into the biz 13 years ago, I looked around like, okay, how do you credential yourself? Because I like acquiring credentials.
Yeah.
So I earned that. And then other designations to allow me to feel a greater sense of confidence to work with folks with brain-based conditions, because which really, you know, can very easily lead us into the conversation about because in order to do the work, in order to have a tidy household, one needs a functioning executive function, not a vagina, right? So it's like, so a lot of our clients with brain-based conditions that impact the executive function, prefrontal cortex, that gray matter part of our brain, they often have clutter because of the ways in which our emotional management and our time management and the linear processing, planning, sequencing. If you feel that you have ADHD-like behaviors or executive function dysfunction or depression or anxiety or all kinds of things can tweak or compromise the executive function, then you're going to, by the very nature of what the executive function does for us on task, on time, you may experience clutter and chaos anyway. I know.
Well, actually, so on our way to emotional labor and what that is and all in the book, did you come to this maybe a lot of different ways, but I'm wondering if in working with couples potentially, might you hear, well, she did this, she was the one supposed to, this is all her fault that we have all this clutter, blah, blah, blah. Did you end up hearing that a lot, I'm guessing?
Sure. Yeah, a lot. And I've been doing this for 13 years, and over this period of time, I get calls from husbands that are just, you know, she doesn't know how to do this. And I always say, is it all of her responsibility?
Mm-hmm.
And I talk to my colleagues about this. Is it our role to accept the status quo and help our clients, who are predominantly women, to deal better with emotional labor? Or are we there to help them disrupt the narrative?
So
here I am. Here are the types of situations that I am in early on as an organizer. So think of me coming out of higher education. I had been a director at UCLA. I taught women's studies and history courses, and my PhD reflects my education in everything I studied was women. Mm-hmm. And that 20 times fast. So everything I studied was women, and now I am being a professional organizer, and I've had a complete change in my professional life, and I'm sitting on the floor with women going through their stuff, pulling out boxes of trauma under the bed.
Oh.
And then hearing about how terribly difficult it is for them to maintain a tidy home, and they are seeing it as a reflection on who they are as wives and mothers. And I'm sitting there going, huh? He's like, what? Well, where's the other adult in the household? What's happening?
And so,
what happens is I bring my historian hat on the floor with Sylvia, and I said, "Look, this. Yeah, you feel this way, but this is something much, much bigger than you." And we talked about the ways in which the tasks of the household. Seriously, I am giving a women's history 101 on the floor of Sylvia's bedroom. How this came to be, and you know, tracing back to comments by Aristotle and Plato, and then Thomas Jefferson, and then this idea of the Republican motherhood. You know, the founders of the country are saying, "Oh, we're going to make great leaders. Where are great leaders going to come from? And the great leaders are going to come from a well-ordered home. Who's responsible for that well-ordered home?" And it was as if the weight of the republic is on the shoulders of the middle class housewives, but it's also translated into on the shoulders of all women, because whether you are middle class or upper class or working class or enslaved, there are these beliefs and understandings about what becomes known as women's role, women's work. So class status mattered not. And what we see is the creation of a particular narrative. When you really just look at it on the face of it, the only time you actually need a female-born female in this idea of the work is giving birth and breastfeeding. Other than that, all the jobs are up for grabs.
Okay. What are some of these phrases that whether it's Aristotle or Thomas Jefferson, what are some of these phrases that we take for granted or have taken for granted as a culture or civilization since then, evidently?
Well, a man can work from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done. And I brought in a really wonderful collaborator on this book, Judith Kohlberg. And Judith one day said, "What is women's work and why is it never done?" Like, wow, good questions. And
great.
What everybody is talking about when it comes to women's work is the and why it's never done is this idea of what is called emotional labor. And emotional labor, that term starts, it hits our lexicon in the mid-1980s when sociologist Arlie Hochschild wrote a book looking at the weight of emotional labor on flight attendants and food servers. And it's the things that you have to do, the things that you do to earn better wages. You know, what you have to do to earn better wages, to keep the customer satisfied, and all these things that are not, the list of which is not in the job written job description. The job description may say play nice, but that doesn't include the myriad ways we're expected to play nice. And so now this idea of emotional labor has morphed into what's happening in the paid workforce in general and also in the household. running a household requires the same type of skills that it does to run a corporation.
Mm.
But the skills in the C-suite have great value and are recognized and are evaluated. Employee evaluation. I mean, they're rewarded.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In order to keep that train running and humming. Well, the same train that we walk out of our door, our front door, it's the management of the household. It doesn't require any less skills, financial management and acumen, emotional and sustainability. And what happens in the household is that because what happens in what historians of women's history call the private sphere, you know, during the period of industrialization, we see the separation of the spheres, public and private. Private is the world of peace and comfort and togetherness. The woman was the angel in the house, and the public sphere is the rough and tumble world of commerce and industry. And so the keeper of the moral flame, as mom was called, you know, that's the locus of family life. And while we have this rhetoric of it's the sanctity and it's we glorify motherhood and all of this, it's a tremendous amount of work. You know, this colloquia, the labor of love, you know, it's like, come on, it's labor, and it's never parsed out. We rarely parse it out, and so what happens across cultures, universally, say the words women's work, and everybody knows what you're talking about. Say men's work, and it's doctor, lawyer, stevedore, you know what I mean? It's police. I mean, it's endless. So we have to look at what's happening in the household as work, and how to help the adults in the household create a more equitable division of labor.
In the book, you also get into getting the children involved as well. And I think that's a really good point. It almost seems as if you took me back in history. And since you know the history, you could tell me what I'm thinking, because you inspired this thought about how when women were needed in the workforce or allowed or whatever it was that was happening then, and you can tell me, but that they didn't just take on a job, they took on another job, but didn't let go of the first one.
Sure. As I have rolled along in my study, in my study of women's history, there were these light bulb moments. And so when I think about the end of world, you know, the beginning of World War One, and this, the dynamic in the paid corporate workforce was between a boss and his subordinate, was that a father son, and there was that you know, I'll help you get to the top, and I'll show you how I did it, son, and let's do this. And then World War One begins, and all these guys leave the paid workforce, and know that I'm speaking in very generalized terms. Paid the workforce, and women just clamor to these positions, and they do well. And but you're right, they are now doing the double day. And that hasn't actually changed. And now there's a triple day involved because of this concept of emotional labor. But one of the things that really struck me so long ago, I can't even believe it. When I look at the traditional paid workforce, the traditional corporate workplace is a 9-to-5. You know, there's a movie about it, 9-to-5. and K-12 education, the hours are 8-to-3.
Right.
It's mind-boggling, you know, because the primary caretakers of the home are female, and they make up the majority of the service sector in the corporate sector, right? service, and the workplace time has never accommodated the school place schedule. And that to me has that's like one of those things where I walk around just shaking my head, going, how has that been able to be withstood? The other thing I've noticed is that when COVID hit, I know you want to talk about kids, and I will.
Yeah.
This is a good segue, because when COVID hit, as one of my heroes in the work of emotional labor, Reshma Sojani, she said, no one asked us if it was okay that the schools closed. The schools closed and kids were home, and the expectation now that the female adult in the household is now going to be taking on all of the emotional labor when it comes to setting up the network and, you know, making sure passwords are available, making sure there's bandwidth, getting your child to be able to sit there it's unnatural for all of this to happen.
And, right.
And when COVID hit and the family came home, for a long, long while, for good, it seemed, I wondered if the invisible part of emotional labor, which is the planning and anticipating and the thinking about and creating a sequence of events for grocery shopping and trips to the vet and school supplies and, you know, all of the things that have to happen to keep a household running. I wondered if all of those tasks, both visible and invisible, would become big and visible and glaring when COVID hit, and that everybody in the household saw what mom does. And it didn't happen that way. So it's been a slog for a lot of women. Yes, get children involved right away, but you have to. I really encourage family meetings, helping everybody in the household understand everything that's going on. I encourage couples, and again, we live in such a fluid culture, and there's not always a binary in the household. And I know that there are family groups, and there are all manner of people living in one household, and it's up to the adults in the household to begin these conversations. If one person, let's call her mom, if one person feels that there's so much weight on her shoulders when it comes to everything that has to be remembered and everything that's going on. And I was listening to you talk about your time with your mom this weekend and her friends and how tired she was, you know, and her husband had your mom's friend's husband. I don't know if it was your grandfather.
Yeah. Mom's friend's husband. Right.
Had said that, you know, try my day.
Yeah.
And you know, the reason why this was set up as woman's work is because it's hard. Nobody wants to do it. So, you know,
should try her day.
Let's uplift and elevate. It's a labor of love, you know, and it's sold that way, right? It's, if you look at any kind of television and advertising, it's interesting through my eyes watching ads change, and how I can't get into advertising right now, but and how we see more men doing household work, although it's mostly men of color that are participating in chores. It's from what I've seen, which I find interesting.
When we come back at two things, the first thing is you, I don't remember if it was during your book signing that I had the pleasure of being at, or I know it's in the book, but there are different places where it is, where you had like a long list, but if you could give a short list of things that people wouldn't normally think of that just has to get done. When, at one point you said that the ketchup has to be replaced. And I'm like, yeah, I've been in households where there's major drama when there's like, what? No ketchup? Why'd you make hamburgers? How am I supposed to eat a hamburger? You know, those kinds of things. Whose job is that? So if you could give a list of some of the things that people don't normally think about that are happening in the household when they're not around or when they don't think about it. And then of course, back to the book, Emotional Labor, Why a Woman's Work is Never Done, and the part I'd love to talk a little bit about in the short time we have remaining, and what to do about it. You've already addressed that. Those of you who are interested in learning more, the book is Emotional Labor, Why a Woman's Work is Never Done and What to Do About It. Regina F. Clark, PhD, CPO with Judith Kohlberg. It's available where books are sold. We also have a link to Emotional Labor on our website. I think it goes to Regina's website, and then she's got a couple other books you might want to learn about, but you can learn all about her at aclearpath.net. She's also on Instagram as Regina Lark, L-A-R-K. We're going to talk a little bit more with her when we come back here. Later on, we have our Ask Dorothy segment, and then our musical guest, oh, this is going to be interesting, and good music, Emily Glazner. You'll see why I said that when we come back. All on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA, with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online at lifechangesshow.com, via Twitter Life Changes Show, and Facebook at the Life Changes Show.
We are back. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and we are online with our guest, who's an author, an ADHD specialist, a certified professional organizer in chronic disorganization, and certified senior move manager. As you get it, it's all about clearing paths, and we're going to be clearing a path to this long-standing emotional labor problem, why a woman's work is never done and what to do about it, Dr. Regina F. Clark, CPO. So, Regina, what are some of the things that people wouldn't think about that's included in this quote-unquote known as woman's work no longer?
Great question, because a lot of people have the holidays descending upon them. And it's planning, processing, sourcing, connecting. It's remembering what goes into the famous recipes, remembering who eats what. What's going to fit your child that may have gained a couple of pounds during COVID? I mean, it is endless. The lists that are going on in the heads of women right now are endless. And what can be ordered? And not to mention the anxiety that people are feeling about the shipping containers in the ocean. That notwithstanding. And so if shipping containers are stuck in the ocean, What do you have to do to get the gift that is going to be opened on the holiday. And so it's managing the emotions of everybody around you during this time when Hallmark has all kinds of ways of telling us how we ought to be. So it's like there's so much weight. I felt the globe get a little heavier this week. But we're entering into that season where the work is plentiful, and it has everything to do with how your executive function is working for you. Because there's a lot of planning and processing and anticipating and timing and staying emotionally managed. This is the time of year for that to really kick in if you got it.
Yes. And so what to do about it? The book is full of what to do about it. One of them is dialogue. You actually give dialogue to help people talk through certain things in ways they've never even thought to have a conversation about, much less know how to have it.
Yeah. I feel that a lot of people have been arguing about this at home for a long time. And as I hear a lot of women say, you just got to pick your battles. So I think starting out a relationship, learning how to dialogue is like probably the best gift you can give each other. If you're in the thick of it and it's been challenging to talk about it, one way to look at this from the 2,000 foot, 30,000 foot view is for each adult in the household, wife and husband, to go into a separate room and just make a list of everything they do. Don't hold back. Just write it all down. What do you think you do that contributes to the household? However you want to add to that conversation, here's what I do that contributes to the household. And then exchange lists and read and then talk. And then see what, if the burden feels too much for all of these things that she's doing, what can he do to get it off the plate? What can they do to decide this doesn't work for us at all? So let's just take this task out. Not the marriage. You know, what is among these tasks, what really can we just get out of our lives? You know, it's like looking at all the work that's happening and doing it respectfully, doing it with, you know, unfortunately, I hear way too many times that I've heard wives bear all, this is how I'm feeling, this is what I'm doing, and I'm there watching, listening to her tell him how bad this is, and then I'll ask him, like, so how do you feel? He goes, that doesn't bother me. And she's just like, I just can't do it all. I can't do it all. And he goes, well, the crap on the dining room table doesn't bother me. And I'll look at him and go, how come her pain is not your pain?
Hmm.
Well, it's killing her, you know?
Hmm.
What is that? So it's a lot of work to get to equity, for sure. We see that historically just in everyday life. So getting to equity in the household is going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of courage. But I think with conversation and dialogue, a good mental health professional, you know, listening to podcasts such as yours, this idea of, you know, being open to life changes, to be open to what's possible out there. You know,
well, Regina, I never done anything like this on the show, but it just came to me, might be fun if you and I played out with you being you on page 31 of your book. And let's let people hear a dialogue that you so eloquently. Right. You know what I'm talking about? The kin work dialogue.
Not even going to look at it.
You haven't memorized.
No. I'm just going to do this fresh. I know it's in there.
Oh, but I have to read it because I don't know what you're going to do. So you start, okay. And I'll say what's in the book.
Okay. All right. I'll follow along. Go ahead. Okay.
So the UBU on page 31.
All right. Here I go. Hey, babe. I love our family and all of the traditions we have and our accomplishments. And quite honestly, I love who we are as a family. Still, staying on top of and documenting all of our milestones has become a lot of work.
I know how much you love our family, but honestly, babe, you don't have to do it all.
Awesome. That's great. So does that mean you're going to take some of it on?
No, not exactly. I just think that you don't have to do as much of the work. And really, I'm not sure why you think there is so much work to do.
Oh, okay. That's fair. And I think this is like the invisible labor that Regina Lark's been talking about. Okay, that's fair. So right now, I'm thinking that a couple of birthdays and the holidays are coming up. And here's what I usually do in preparation. I buy cards and I make sure I have everyone's correct address. I also make sure the holiday lights work and that we have enough wrapping paper for everything. And we have everything coming up in the next 2 months. And then I start making gift lists. Also, your parents' 60th wedding anniversary is coming up. And we have to talk about it if we're going to plan a party or what we're going to do and how to involve all the nieces and nephews, your sister and brothers. I think it would be great to have a party, but I still haven't made the album or the book or whatever we're going to do with the photos from last year's family reunion. I would hate to have another project like that hanging over my head. So which of these should I give up?
Putting it that way, that's tough. I guess maybe it would be okay to not do the family reunion album, but my gosh, we had so much fun, and I know you took some great pictures. It would be a shame not to have those memories to look back on.
I know. I mean, everybody loved it. So when would you suggest that I make the album?
Maybe you should show one of the kids what to do.
That's one possibility, but I'm wondering if you can show the kids what to do after you look at a YouTube video on what to do with family photos. What do you think about that?
Okay, sure. I can do that. Great idea. Still, the other stuff sounds more immediate. Is there anything on the list that I should take over?
Oh my gosh, I'm so glad you asked. It would be great if you and your siblings can start the dialogue about your parents' wedding anniversary. It's a huge milestone, and I think they would love to be celebrated. If you can take those two things and run with them, I feel good about taking on the holidays and birthdays this year. But I would love for us to have a dialogue about after the first of the year about how we can divide the work well in advance so we can enjoy ourselves instead of stressing on not having it all done in time.
Nice. Big round of applause for Dr. Regina Clark. That was so much fun. Again, the book is Emotional Labor, Why a Woman's Work is Never Done and What to Do About It. That dialogue is in the book, along with many other cartoons and things that to just really get into this like we've never done before is probably civilization. Thank you. Regina, thank you so much.
That was lovely. You're welcome. Thank you.
Go to aclearpath.net to learn more about Regina and go to our website. She's got several other books, including Psychic Debris and Crowded Closets that you may want to check out as well. What a pleasure. And oh, we have to say, speaking of moms, thank you to your mom, Carmel.
Thanks, Mom.
Ravello McGuire, for introducing us. Okay. All the best to you and happy holidays.
Back at you. Thanks.
And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Iris from Los Angeles, and I need help. A very good friend of mine has been involved in a domestic dispute, and he ended up in jail over the weekend. His family and close friends are asking me to give him a place to stay once he is out of jail this coming week. As much as I love my friend, I feel uncomfortable in having him stay with me and need to know if I am being a bad friend by saying yes. This is the first time he has ended up in jail, but it is not the first time he has had domestic disturbances. He has many problems, and I have helped in every possible way numerous times. Since he has substance abuse challenges, I just don't feel safe under the present circumstances. Am I a bad person by refusing to take him in?
Dear Iris, I feel that you are making the correct decision by saying no in this particular instance. Since his family and friends are asking you to help him, my question is why they are looking to you to take him in this time around instead of them letting him stay with one of them. I intuit that they have all assisted him in the past, and although they love him, they've had enough of his trauma and drama. Sometimes the most loving thing we can do is say no and set healthy boundaries for ourselves and our loved ones. In the past, I have assisted a loved one over and over and over again until I realized that my help just might not have been in his highest and best good. When one keeps bailing someone out of troubles, this can often be seen by the one needing help as permission to keep on behaving in a self-destructive way. I lovingly suggest that you ask his family and friends to gather together and do an intervention. They can do research in their community and find what resources are available to assist him. And this could be the most loving solution possible for this troubled soul. And please know, dear Iris, that you are not a bad person, and that by saying no, you may be providing him the nudge he needs to make more elegant choices.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at AskDorothy@LifeChangesShow.com.
And we'll be right back with our musical guest, Emily Gleisner, on the Life Changes Show At Home Edition right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@LifeChangesNetwork.com.
We are back, and for our musical segment, we have singer, songwriter, and so much more, Emily Gleisner. Emily, welcome to the Life Changes Show.
Hey, how are y'all doing?
I'm doing great. I was thinking about you throughout that whole interview. Wonder why?
I was listening to it, and I was thinking, you know, I was pretty fortunate. My husband passed away. But before that, you know, he was raised by a single mom. So I was very fortunate in the sense that we split work pretty well. Even though, for part of our marriage, I stayed home. I can remember if it was just a really hard day, he'd come in when our middle son was born, and I just hand in the baby, and he was so great. he had it, you know. And then when he did pass away, you know, I've been doing it all myself, and I worked in corporate America for a while. And I really thought about what she said when she said, some husbands say, oh yeah, try my job. yeah, I've tried your job. I've done it quite a bit. You know, I was in it. And let me tell you, being mom is much harder. Like, it just is. It is, you know, being at home, doing those kind of things, COVID, I think the teachers are amazing. I have friends who are teachers, and I make sure to tell them how amazing they are, because I am not a teacher, and I had to teach. And it was very, very, very difficult. That's where we found out that my youngest son is severely dyslexic. He has developmental dyslexia. And unfortunately, in the particular school he had been in, and I was working from 6 to 5:30 to, you know, we didn't catch it. And this school that he's in now, they did. And it was so wonderful because I brought to their attention, you know, he's this age and he's not spelling or reading cat. And it was through having to be at home, but it was really, really difficult. And I thought, I am not the only mom who sat down and looked at their kid and was like, why can't you read, you know, the cat ran down the street, that kind of thing. So
yeah,
I really understood what she was saying.
Well, and I think, would it be okay to let everybody know that you're a mother of three boys?
I am. I am a mother of three boys. My oldest just went into the Navy last year. My middle is 12, and my youngest is almost 9. And I am very blessed. I have two stepsons. After their father passed away, I didn't get to raise them, but I got them for 5.5 years. And that was wonderful, that time. So we're still very, very close. The oldest is 24, and the youngest is 19, just like my son.
Wow.
I'm a proud mom of my boys.
Wow. Well, you know, it really hit home this morning when you and I were talking, and it was early, and you didn't even know who our guest was going to be and what the conversation was about. And I was saying, can you get me this and this? And then you're saying, sure, I can do it. Let's see. So far, I've already done this, and it's only what, you know, and it's only 9 o'clock or whatever.
Yeah.
You had done so much.
Yeah.
And it was around Christmas, too. It was around holiday this and Thanksgiving that.
Squeezed in a movie, too. Work.
I don't know how you do it. But, and you sing, too. So let's get into the singing. and then the song you said, I'm planning on doing this one. So why don't we just jump to that? So what's that song that you totally blew me away with the choice of song, again, without even knowing the subject matter?
Oh, A Spotlight. My latest single is called Spotlight. And it is about women. It's Stand Up and Sing, Girl. That is, I had very strong women in my life, Celeste, Dinah, and Caroline, wonderful women who, when I became a widow, they didn't say, oh, you poor little widow. They were just like, okay, you know, come on and do this, Emily. And I loved it. And they were just such strong women themselves. You know, they're all professional women. They're all moms. They're all, I mean, it was just, it was the way things should be. Because unfortunately, we as women have a bad rep for in the workplace or other places, even PTA, that kind of thing, just, you know, tearing down other women to build ourselves up. And I don't know where we learned it, but it happens and it's really awful. And so I think we can get past that. And my whole thing is to stand up and sing, you know, because here comes the world. You're strong enough to rise where you fall. You're strong enough to hear us when we call, because we will call out to you just like you call out to us.
Okay, well, Emily Glazner is going to stand up and sing here live on the Life Changes Show online, her song Spotlight.
Spotlight holds the weight of the world. Spotlight holds the gazes of the world. Stand up and sing. Stand up and sing. 'Cause here comes the world, my sweet girl. thought of you today, sweet girl. I thought of you. Stand up and sing, girl. Stand up and sing, 'cause here comes the world. It's cold when the rain falls down. It's warm on the stage in the sound. Stand up and sing, girl. Stand up and sing. Here comes the world. Through the worry and strife, you carry the light and hide all the fear from the ones that you love. You dance inside the fire when life comes along, only you write your song. You're strong enough to rise where you fall. You're strong enough to hear us, we will call. Stand up and sing. Stand up and sing, 'cause here comes the world. You're strong enough to rise where you fall. You're strong enough to hear us, we will call. Stand up and sing, girl. Stand up and sing, 'cause here comes the world. The spotlight holds the weight of the world. The spotlight holds the gazes of the world.
Emily Glazner and Spotlight. Wow. Stand up and sing, girl. Wow.
Thank you.
You're doing it. So, and if you are looking to hear more music from Emily, follow her, find her. She's got a CD coming out. We'll talk about it in a minute. But emilyglazner.com is her website. And I'm going to spell that. Emily is E-M-I-L-Y. And Glazner, G-L-A-Z-E-N-E-R. Actually, how did you say, Emily, that people can remember your last name?
My husband taught it to me. I loved it. Glazner'd without the D.
So she's on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. And are you moving things on Instagram? Do you post there a bit?
I do post on Instagram. The thing I'm on the most, and I just love it, is Twitter. And Twitter. I know some people think, oh, it's so negative. I was like, no, it doesn't have to be. You know, you have a lot of control in Twitter, and Twitter can be a really wonderful tool and a wonderful place to meet people. I got to go hang out and play music in England because of Twitter. I think the way I look at it is Facebook is a tool, Instagram is a tool, and so is Twitter. But the way I'd say it, the best way I can say, Twitter is the world.
Well, then find her at Emily_Glazner at Twitter, on Twitter. And so we have a thank you to a shout out to, we're grateful to Matt Gary for introducing us to the show, you to the show. And now, on you, when is your album coming out? Because Matt played on that album, right?
That's it. The album is being produced, as has been produced, by Jörg Klein from Germany. So I'm working this album from League City, Texas, to Germany. And I was supposed to be able to get into a studio, and I wasn't able to. And I had this wonderful friend, Matt Gary, and he was like, well, I have a portable studio. I was like, really? And he really didn't. So we recorded some of the, almost all the songs, except for Spotlight and the Christmas song. We recorded here in my bedroom where I'm sitting right now. We got such great sound. And he was so wonderful to record. We recorded a dry vocal and a dry acoustic, and then we sent it off to Jorg, and Jorg did some amazing magic with it. And he's just such a talented producer. So
awesome. Did I hear you say you have a Christmas song?
I do. I have a Christmas song. I'm so proud of my Christmas song. It's called Merry Christmas, A Happy One Too.
Are we going to get to hear it today?
Yes, I can absolutely play it.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. I love
it. Would that be okay? Would it be, I mean, okay, so the CD is coming out
In the middle of December.
So they can follow you on Twitter when they, and you'll be letting everybody know. Before we go on, actually, Dorothy, you said you had a shout out. Dorothy? Dorothy, did you say have a shout out?
You already gave the shout out, Filippo. I was trying to give Matt Gary and Sacred Word a shout out for connecting us with Emily.
Oh, well, indeed. Well, now he got two. And now we get to hear a Christmas song. I'm excited. I don't know why. It's almost Thanksgiving. So what is it called again?
It's called Merry Christmas, A Happy One Too. I wrote it last year on Thanksgiving Day. And I was inspired by the Make Humanity Great Again Fund. And I like the idea of being very inclusive with Christmas and being very worldly. So I sat down and I could see this picture. There's a picture of Eddie Izzard, and I've got a picture of the Beatles, and I got a picture of Elton John all on my desk. And I looked at it and I thought, well, I know that Eddie can speak four different languages, like English, Spanish, French, and German, and does stand up in it. So I thought I could sing at least Merry Christmas in those languages. So I made it really cool, and I thought.
So nice. Okay, then here is Emily Glazner a couple days before Thanksgiving of 2021, and she's singing for us a song she wrote last year on Thanksgiving, right? On Thanksgiving Day of 2020. So here it is. Merry Christmas and a happy one too, right?
That's right.
All right, on the Life Changes Show.
Snow must be falling somewhere. I can hear carols sung out in the great open air. Merry Christmas, happy one too. Frohe Weihnachten, me and you. Salvation Army bells are ringing in town square, and the man with the big gray coat says, have you got any change to spare? Merry Christmas, a happy one too. Buon Natale, me and you. Tree stacks with colors, such a beautiful hue. The street lamps with holly, ribbons and tulle. Church doors are open with candles and prayers, and children with donation boxes filled with love and care. Merry Christmas, a happy one too. As you went now, who will be on you? Like covered houses, buildings, and schools, tidings of goodwill. Families reach out to those far away, and the little ones write to the big man that was riding on his sleigh. Merry Christmas, happy one too. The Feliz Navidad for me and you.
Merry Christmas. Buon Natale. Feliz Navidad. I'd love to hear people singing that. I'd love to sing along and learn that one. Whenever.
I'll send it to you when it releases for sure.
Yay! Okay. What a beautiful gift you're giving out to all to be able to be included in so many special ways in what you do, not just that song, but in the songs you sing. All your songs have a message. Your life seems to have a message. I just was struck by your positivity throughout our conversations and the email and your can-do. As a matter of fact, this CD is a can-do in the sense that didn't you tell some people you were going to have a CD by the end of this year? And
yes. And they scoffed at it and were like, oh yeah, whatever, Emily. And then I was like, oh no, I'm really going to. I'm but you know what, I'm actually more motivated. Well, absolutely you can do that, but if you know, I'm motivated both ways. But you know, to me, finding Irene, which is the name of my album, it's my journey. It was 7 years ago that my husband passed away, and when our baby was a baby, like our last child literally was 16 months old, then 4 was almost 5, and then 12 and 17. So I know I'm not the only one who's ever been in that situation, and I've made my way through it. You know, that pain, it never, ever goes away. You learn how to live with it, but it's a part of your life. And, you know, the first year, you're kind of numb. The second year, you're getting out of your numb, and then you're into angry. And I didn't really get sad until 5 years. And, you know, I've come out of sad, and I'm just, you know, real positive about things. I honor him in the ways I know he would have done things with the kids. I take on the role of mom and dad with such pride. I mean, I like the fact that I get to be mom and dad, and that I can poke at them and tease them, and they can say something like, no, your dad would have done it. Like, it's great. I love that I remember him so well, and I can do things like that. I love the fact that my stepson got married about 2 weeks ago. He got married on the 31st, on Halloween. And I was able to put in his hand before he got married something that was his father's. Mm-hmm. And that was so wonderful. So he had his dad with him. And I just, you know, this is the cards that I was dealt. This is what's going to happen in my life. I'm going to be really positive about it, you know. I'm going to carry him with me.
Wow. Emily, I get the feeling that that we'll be talking again on this show, and looking forward to what more you're going to do with that can do and will do attitude. Thank you for sharing your story in such an amazing, inspiring way. And it's been a pleasure having you on the show. Emily Glazner. Thank you,
Olivia. Thank you very much.
Pleasure. It was ours. And also, once again, a big thank you to Dr. Regina Lark. With that is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our producer and co-host, Mark Leger, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes and your vibrations raise like ours surely did tonight, we're here with you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.